comprehend it. Darkness can't stay there. So as you get the word in you and coming out of you, there's a cleansing. But it has to be consistent. It has to be believed. How many know God will give us length of days, long life? That's what he promised in his word. My word will be health to your navel, marrow to your bones. That's the word of God. The word of God will do you better than medicine. As a matter of fact, the word says that laughter, how many know God will give you laughter? Laughter doth good like a medicine. Amen. So all these things are found right in the word. Sometimes we go way off and we're looking for self-help books, and it's good to read, but all that stuff really would just point you right back to the word of God. My word is spirit and it's life. So we've studied this about self-talk. You need to talk. And when I say self-talk, it's not all the time even verbalizing. It goes into what you think. As a man thinketh in his heart. Not this thing that's pumping blood. That's not the heart it's talking about. The heart is your belief system. How do you believe? I mean, really, you know, we say amen to the word, but how do you, when you leave here, when you're confronted by things, how do you really believe? When challenges come, where's your faith? The disciples, when they were crossing the Galilee and the storm arose and Jesus was asleep in the back of the boat, they ran to him and said, "Master, don't you care that we perish?" And he rose and he rebuked the wind and the waves. And then he said, "Oh, ye of little faith, wherefore do you doubt?" And in one text, in one of the synoptic gospels, he says, "Where is your faith?" He said, little faith, because they had enough faith to come to him. Listen to me. But he said, then he asked him, "Where's your faith?" I'm going to paraphrase. He said, "Why you wake me up? I was sleeping good. Where is your faith?" In other words, you could have rebuked the wind. You could have rebuked the storm. That's what he was saying. Now, if you've been following along in this study, you understand that in Genesis, the Genesis principle, the way God created us, and whether people realize it or not, God's purpose and plan for man has never changed. Amen. I said it's never changed. He gave a mandate. He spoke a DNA into us before he even breathed into us. He said, "The man shall be fruitful. He shall multiply. He shall replenish the earth. He shall subdue. And he shall have dominion." Now, something is off kilter if that's not a microcosm of our life. Some of the things that we have to unravel will take some time, because it took some time for you to get there. But the moment you start to believe is the moment it kicks into place. Things start to change. So, having said all of that, I want us to make this, I call it a declaration. Again, I'm going to have this printed out for you. I'm going to word some more things to it. I'm just kind of working with it a little bit here. But it's you speaking to your subconscious. If Jesus could speak to a storm or a fig tree and it obeyed him, and then he turned around and said, "The works that I do, you shall do also. And even greater work shall you do, for I go unto my Father," then why are we so timid and afraid, or think somebody going to think we crazy? They think you crazy anyway. And it's not a matter of what people think anyway. What do you think? I guarantee you, if you'll start appropriating the word of God, you will see fruit. You see, the word is a divine idea. God drops rhema. He sends his word. He drops divine ideas. Ideas are captured thoughts. God will send something across you. See, that's why we pray. That's why we spend time with God. Sometimes you're so choked with the cares of life, God tried to plant some seed and all the cares choked it out. You thought it was a good idea, but it wasn't. It was a God idea. And you let stuff choke it out. Or it fell by the wayside. You heard it, but the devil came right away. And problems, you know. How many know he works like that too? That's why you got to be concentrated, consecrated, and focused on stuff. When God speaks to you, you better tell somebody, hold on to it. Fight for it. Protect it. You got to guard that seed. Because that's your future. That's your destiny. That's your breakthrough. Seed sown by the wayside. They hear, but the enemy comes right away. You hear a good word, and before you get out these doors, somebody fussing at you. The devil stole your joy. And then you forgot everything you ain't thinking about. You don't care what God said. You mad. That's right. Sister Rose, help us, Lord. Help us, Jesus. You got to guard your heart. For out of it are the issues of life. So understand, God wants to give, as much as we pray for the spirit of wisdom, God wants to give you rhema. But tell somebody, you got to hear him. I don't care how far-fetched it sounds. You could be broke, and God could speak to you and say, I'm going to make you a millionaire. Remember Gideon? Gideon was threshing wheat, hiding out. And the angel came to him. First thing he said, thou mighty man of valor. Gideon, I'm sure he said, Yeah, I know you ain't talking to me. That's how some of us are. But God don't, environment means nothing to God. You can be sick on your back, and God said, I'm getting ready to send you around the world. One of the things that we must catch about faith is that God calls those things that are not as though they were. See, that's real faith. When you start talking like that, when that's your conversation, you start talking as though something was, even though it's not visible yet. That's how God talks. See, we looked at the fact that before God ever speaks, he's already determined the outcome. Do you understand? He's already determined. He's not thinking about something. Oh, maybe I'll have it. No, he's already determined before he speaks what the outcome will be. See, this is faith. You got to have that image, that dominant image in your mind before you. That's why sometimes things don't work out. You're just saying words. Nice words. You're quoting the word, but you don't have the image. It's not the dominant image. You still see yourself broke. Thank God that I got more than enough. Y'all get the picture, right? But okay, real quick, we're going to speak to our subconscious. And we're going to speak to it enough to where it starts to take on the same program that's in our soul. See, our soul has to prosper. And sometimes your subconscious has an old program. And you heard something new. You know, you raring to go, and that's a good thing. But you got to deal with that fella. And we tell somebody, you got to deal with you. It ain't your boss that can stop you. It ain't the world that can stop you. Nobody can stop you except you. And so you got to deal with you. So we want to start with us. We want to start with ourselves. We want to start with renewing our mind. We want to start with changing our perspective on a lot of things. Amen. One thing is certain in life, and that's change. And when we don't change, now there are certain things, let me say, principles don't change. don't change. But methods and focus have to change. You can't be living in the 50s. Or the 60s, if you wasn't around, in the 60s, 70s, 80s, whatever, whenever you were. You can be living back then. This, times have changed. God don't change, but his methods and his focus change. Say these things with me. Say, I have a powerful subconscious mind. My subconscious mind is my partner in success. My subconscious mind is now working for me and will do exactly what I tell it, because my subconscious mind is my partner in success, health, well-being, and prosperity. Subconscious mind, I command all toxic and wasteful memories to dry up and disintegrate. I now release the breath of God and the life of God to enter into those places. I command you, subconscious mind, to align with the destiny, purpose, and original intent for my life established by God before I was in the womb. I decree this to be so in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Get up on the screen for me, if you will. Jeremiah 2 and verse 21, and then Jeremiah 2 and verse 13. Jeremiah 2, verse 21, and we're going to springboard off of this verse. And this stems all the way back to the time of Adam. Now, God was speaking to Israel, but we're taking it all the way back to the garden. The Lord says, yet I had planted thee a noble vine, holy, a right seed. How then art thou turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me? Keep it there for a minute. Emphasis on the word degenerate. Genesis, gene, that word gene is in there, but degenerate. What happened at the fall, there was a degeneration. The life that God had given man, the holy, righteous seed that he had made man, degenerated.
Thank you for listening. To order today's message or for more information about our church, contact us at 772-465-0036 or toll free at 1-877-TR-BANKS. Our service times are Sundays, 8:30 a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m. Join us in our midweek service, Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m.
The bread of life, the Redeemer. You were there even before time began. Light of the world, friend of sinners. Son of God and the creator of man. Great I am, Jehovah. Everlasting Father, mighty God. I call you Lord, I call you Savior. You paid a debt that